You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
We're tuned in.
Entertain a motion to come into regular session for public hearings.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Dever, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. When the council holds public hearing on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application, present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or to switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first application today is conditional use number 1965, Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens, Inc. Mr. Lank?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for botanic gardens and related visitor center, conservatory, theater, nature center, and parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 36.99 acres, more or less, lying south of Pontiac Neck Road, also referred to as Road 336, 1/2 mile west of Bunting Road, also known as Road 335, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID 233, map 6, parcel 116.10. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 11th of 2013. For the benefit of those in attendance, the council has also received a copy of the exhibit booklet prepared by the applicants. We heard comments from DLDOT, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. At the time of the public hearings with the commission, I'd received 16 emails in support of that this application. I've received one additional comment for today, and the one I received today is from Ronald Bass. Apologizing for not being able to attend, supporting the project. This is a potential tourist teaching and learning opportunity with little impact on the government set up by private citizens, and hoping that the county supports the application. There were several parties present on behalf of the applicant and gave a lot of testimony. In my report to council, I tried to summarize those comments stated, and those comments I digested from the exhibit booklet. Made it a little bit easier, actually, for me. The county attorney, Mr. Robertson, advised those present that the project, if approved, need to be substantially underway within 3 years of receiving approval. We also added that light displays or similar activities may require additional public hearings. There was one party present, a resident of Holly Cove near Dagsboro, in support and stated that their plans are nice and that the use is needed in the area. There were several parties present to raise their hands in support. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. The council or the commission at the time did defer action for further consideration and left the record open for receipt of the plus comments, or plus meaning the preliminary land use service through the state, and that motion carried 5-0. We have not yet placed this application back on the agenda for the commission action. So that's really all I have unless you have questions.
The plus hasn't gotten here yet.
Pardon?
They don't have the plus report yet?
No, we just got them.
Oh, you just got the plus
report? You have in your packet, but just received them. It's not, it's got to be acted on by the commission based on the plus comment.
It's in this booklet, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions from council? If not, is the applicant or their representative ready?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Mark Davidson, and I'm with Pannoni Associates in Milton, Delaware, and I'm the principal land planner and the consultant for this project. With me today is Carlton Savage. He's a professional engineer with Pannoni Associates, and will be doing the engineering for us. And our qualifications are in the booklet that has been passed out to you. We are here today to represent on behalf of the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens an application for public gardens here in Southern Delaware. With us today is Mr. Michael Zajic. He is the president of the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens. Also with us are some other board members and supporters of the public gardens. Submitted as part of the record, I've put in the booklets are some brief bios of all the board members for the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens. The Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, is incorporated as a nonprofit in the state of Delaware. Their mission is to create an inspirational, educational, and sustainable public gardens in Southern Delaware for the benefit and enjoyment of the public. They desire to create Delaware's first flagship botanic garden. We are here today to present the application to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district that also has the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone over top of that. And just in a few minutes, I'm going to ask Mr. Zajic to come up, and he's going to explain his vision for this particular piece of property. A little bit about the property is the property is located in the Dagsboro 100 of Sussex County and is located on the south side of Piney Neck Road. I've included, and I've got a board up here of the aerial, and I've included copies of the aerials. It's underneath the map section within the booklet. Mm-hmm. The property is approximately 36.99 acres, just shy of 37 acres. The property was deeded, as you're probably aware, to the Sussex County Land Trust by Sussex County. Back in May 9th of 2006. I've included a copy of that deed within the booklet. The site is currently presently used as open space containing agricultural lands, and I believe it's currently planted with soybeans. It's also bordered by, to the south, by Peppers Creek. It also has a portion of the site is wooded on the south side. It does border along Peppers Creek. East side is a agricultural farm field. I think it was part of a, it's still part of a preliminary approved subdivision on the east side. And on the west side, we do have some wooded areas along the western property line as well as some residential housing. According to the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update, the area proposed for the gardens is identified as the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone And this is an area that can accommodate development, provided that special environmental concerns are addressed. And throughout our presentation today, Mr. Zajac and I will talk about some of the environmental issues that we've been addressing and that we have been proposing for this site. The site is in an investment level 2 out-of-play area, according to the 2010 strategies for state policies and spending. The level 2 areas can be characterized as rapidly growing areas in the county. We did meet on July 24th with the State Planning Office to go through the PLUS process. We introduced this project to all the agencies. Danarec was in there, DLDOT, the Fire Marshal, different Department of Agriculture. They all supported the project, although we're still waiting on their comments from the meeting, which we should have here shortly. What I have submitted as part of the booklet is the application that we did submit to them outlining all the environmental issues with the property. But again, we did address, and we are going to work, and what we stated with them is, and what they had asked of us is if we could work hand in hand with the agencies to address any of the environmental concerns, because we are along Peppers Creek, mm-hmm. and we do have, on this property, we do have state and federal wetlands. And again, Mr. Zajac will talk to you a little bit about some of the uses that we want to propose for access to Peppers Creek to work within the existing wooded site. So we did have a favorable response from the State Planning Office. They did talk about, because we are in an out-of-play, that with the memorandum of understanding between the Sussex County Land Trust and with the Southern Botanical Gardens and with the favorable approval of the county for the conditional use, that that out-of-play designation can be lifted. Within the booklet, under the project section, I did submit a copy of the memorandum of understanding between the Land Trust and the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens. The purpose of that MOU, it was to identify the roles and responsibilities of each party, and as it relates to what they're going to establish is a 99-year renewable lease for the property. This property is known as the Cannon Tract, and again, it was deeded to the Land Trust by Sussex County. A little bit of the background is we know that the Sussex County Land Trust is a nonprofit conservation organization dedicated to protecting natural, cultural, agricultural, and recreational resources through land preservation, stewardship, and education. The gardens, the Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens, their values include support for inspirational gardens, environmental stewardship, financial responsibility, community focus, education, and research. So that the rest of the memorandum of understanding kind of outlines the responsibilities of both groups during the process of this project. At this time, I'd like Mr. Zajac to come up here and kind of go through the project and their vision of what they saw for this project on this piece of property.
Want us to wait before we ask anything?
Yes.
We'll wait.
My name is Michael Zajac. I live at 31401 Malloy Court, Lewis, Delaware. My wife and I reside on Red Mill Pond. Thank you for having us today. Let's see, Mark's taking my props away. There we go. Do I need to stick with this thing?
You can, yeah.
We can turn one around here just a second. Just kind of aim your voice to that one on the end.
The vision for this is that provide Delaware, the state of Delaware and Sussex, and all of Delmarva, a flagship botanic garden. There is none on the peninsula. People who like public gardens, and they're one of the greatest sources of tourism, by the way, have to go to Longwood in the north, Norfolk Botanic Garden in the south, or Brookside Gardens to the west. I come to this from 23 years as horticultural supervisor for the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission in Wheaton, Maryland, at Brookside Gardens. We founded this with the mission of creating a world-class public botanical garden devoted to nature, ecology, beauty, and beauty in Delaware. This site, we looked at 8 others before we settled on this over a period of a year investigating sites. There were some nice ones, but this was perfect because it includes the waterfront and tidal area, which is an important part of biological habitat and plant habitats. We're going to also have, you see a pond and a canal here. It's all fresh water. It'll have shelves, foot-deep shelves on the sides, which are not only a safety feature, but they are another large, it's a half-mile canal, a large amount of emergent plants for a botanical garden to display. We will be planting in this large pond up here a bald cypress swamp to echo the trap pond swamp. We have 3 large, huge waterfalls around the site, around the edges, inspired by White Clay Creek in the north of Delaware, that state park, to aerate the pond, serves the function of both beauty as well as the practical function of keeping the pond nice-looking water. The entry drive comes in and wraps around here. We have a service area up here, wrapped around here to a curved, kidney-shaped parking lot. It'll be something unique and new. The purpose of the curving parking lot with us every about 10 or 12 spaces has one space given over to trees and shrubs so that you don't anywhere in it get a view of more than a half dozen or 8 or 10 cars. So there's no long look, long alleys of cars. The center of it is, and the little center in there is a not so little center, a couple hundred feet is a rain garden. The parking lot is surrounded with the major features, so it's not a long walk to any of them, and there's short walks between them, including a conservatory, visitor center, nature center, a woodland amphitheater and gathering place, a propagation greenhouse, historic gardens, children's garden, and a xeric garden or sand garden. A comment about the I'd like to make about the parking lot. One concern in the zoning meeting that was raised was the amount of space. DelDOT thought that we had plenty, and I would like to add to that that Brookside Gardens, where I came from, has 201 parking spaces and 250,000 visitors a year. There's a car comes in about every 3 minutes. If you stand for 3 minutes and wait for a car to go by, you've got some idea of what the impact is. DelDOT thought that the impact would be less than a development of 30 houses for coming and going, car trips. That average was derived from 4 other public botanic gardens in the United States, since there is none in Delaware. This will be a first for Delaware, so there's no standard already set in the manuals. What else? Let's see. The conservatory is going to be a world-class conservatory with 4 huge chambers. One will be a desert garden. One will be an epiphytic garden like the jungle canopy with orchids, lots of orchids and bromeliads and other upper story trees. We will have a big jungle garden as well, which will be the regular jungle floor garden. And there will be a seasonal display garden in the 4th chamber. The visitor center will have 4 classrooms, offices, an auditorium, and other support rooms. The classrooms will be 2 adult classrooms for programs that will run every day, and 2 children's classrooms. We already are engaging with the state educational facilities, and we'll soon be engaging with the county, so that school children who now get a very minimal exposure to of the plant world in their education will have an opportunity to come, like we had at Brookside Gardens. We had a couple of buses come every hour, and they'd come for an hour's class or walk and tour, and they do all kinds of fun things, and they learn a lot about things they couldn't do in the schoolroom. We hope that these can be free to the kids. They will be, for sure. The adult class will be by paid. The gardens intend to become fully operational within about 10 years. We hope to open about June 16th, the solstice in 2016. We hope to break ground about a year from now. When we first open, we'll be open on weekends because there'll be some construction going on during weekdays. We will construct the buildings as underwriting comes in for them. Our model for that is Norfolk Botanic Garden, which funds all its features, even down to the park benches and the trees, with donor plaques. And that's a good way to go. People like memorials of all kinds. My wife and I have done some to the Delaware Hospice of our own. We'll probably do some bricks of our own here for friends and family, and to memorialize all kinds of things.
Good idea.
There's a 1,000-foot walk around the parking lot, 12 feet wide, that should provide a surplus after cost, when we sold all the bricks, of maybe $4 or $5 million. That'll be enough to underwrite our launch. We also expect help from the state, and we hope for some help from the federal government. We're not at all sure of it, but we'll work on it. Our goal, though, is financial independence and self-sustaining, an economic model that's self-sustaining. We're not going to be dependent upon government. We want help from the community and the government to get us going. It's a legitimate desire, because it's in the best interest of everybody in the community, especially economically. According to the figures from the Delaware State Tourism Offices, Linda Parkowski's office, the expectation for our amount of visitors we expect would be about $27 million a year in tourism dollars. That doesn't count the actual fees and monies we will take in, which will be another $9 million. And there will be about $3 million a year in business we'll do in the local community for services from various contractors and vendors in the Dagsboro area or anywhere else in the county that can supply those services. So we'll be an economic engine. There's another aspect of this economically that's important, and that is that, as it was mentioned to me by somebody, a businessman the other day, when businesses, especially those with educated employees, want to move to a place like Delaware or any other place, they look at not just at the site and the availability of land, they look at the quality of life elements in the community, and this would be a big draw. It would attract other businesses to come to the area to locate there because it is so popular. Garden tourism is one of the biggest kinds of tourism in the country, and more money is spent on gardens in a year. This was President Reagan's commission. I was on it way back. Found that gardening and garden tourism was involved more. It was a bigger economy than all of sports put together, both professional and amateur, which kind of blew me away. I would never have guessed it. The Nature Center will have an auditorium and classrooms. We will have a lot of professional jobs, ecologists, botanists, naturalists, and many others. I think I have all those lists of we expect about 100 people in full-time jobs and some part-time jobs. There'll be maybe as many as 600 volunteers. It's a very favored thing for volunteers to give their time to because they enjoy it. They learn a lot. We'll have some historic gardens as well, a colonial garden and some other such, pre-colonial garden, and we'll have a little cafe down here. We have some very unusual features which will make this an ideal site. Besides the waterfront, where we will do eco tours with boats of the estuary to teach people about the estuary and ecosystem, and it is our opinion that making people sensitive to the value of what they have happens one person at a time, one encounter at a time, and we'll be doing that face-to-face every day of the year except Christmas, which will be closed. And let's see, I was going to tell you about the forest. It's a sloping part. It's a part of a farm that never gets, it's left forest because a farmer can't get a tractor on it. I know I was a farm boy, and that stays forest too steep to grade. But the upland part's about 25 feet above sea level. It won't be threatened even by sea level rise. We're not putting any buildings down where they might be in the near future. The vernal pools are an important ecological asset. That's where we get frogs. That's where they breed skinks, salamanders. And a lot of the other vernal pools in Delaware, because they drain, their drainage areas for farm fields, they get too much fertilizer and too much a pesticide and for frogs to be there. They just aren't. There are at least very few. Ours will be protected. The other thing is...
Where's these frogs? Too-minute frogs? I mean, frogs are dying. Where's this area? I didn't get it. I missed you.
Vernal pools are the ones that are kind of wet.
You said something about frogs are dying and pesticides. Where was this at? You said something about frogs are dying in other areas. I didn't get the area where they're dying.
Oh, well, frogs and a lot of the vernal pools that do exist, because they drain different areas, especially agricultural ones that use both pesticides and fertilizers...
I would disagree with you. Go ahead.
All right. There's frogs, but there's not as many as there could be.
I still disagree with you. There's plenty of frogs. I'm a farmer, and I know better. Go ahead.
All right. Maybe your drainage isn't towards your pool.
I guarantee you, we don't have trouble killing frogs.
Thank you.
They're all government-inspected, all chemicals. Roundup, you can wash your hands in and almost drink it. It won't kill nothing.
That's good.
Well, you're talking about something I like, that I do, and agriculture is far more important than this, and I don't appreciate taking agriculture down to lift this up.
I beg your pardon.
Okay.
There are vernal pools offer some real unique areas down here at any rate, and we plan to make the most of them. We did a survey of them, and they are not at present blessed with populations of diverse plant life that they ought to have. So we're going to take care of that by planting them with the help of the state. The marshlands on the front of the property are infested primarily with Phragmites, which you know is an invasive alien species, and that will be on our agenda to get rid of the invasives and restore the wetland front. We have had a preliminary meeting with the Center for Inland Bays, and they're interested in helping us. We'll meet more about that later, about getting rid of the Phragmites and restoring the marshland as another educational opportunity. One other thing is that the canal has two functions. Besides being another ecosystem and another plant community, it has the soil we take out of that, the ditch, is going to go around the outside of the property and form a 7-foot-high berm, higher than head height, because otherwise the land is pretty flat. And that will provide a sound barrier. And woods themselves don't do it. They don't screen out ambient sounds. We want the garden experience to be quiet, and we don't want the neighboring properties, when they develop, to have the sound of lawnmowers and things buzzing in the garden. So that's going to serve that purpose. And we'll put a deer fence around the top of it to discourage deer from coming into the property, because you can't have a garden with deer. It's hard to have a farm with deer, too.
I agree.
They agree.
They agree now. That's good.
Now we can move on.
Now he knows where he stands.
I hope I covered it pretty well. I'd like you to know that, I think Mark already mentioned, we had a nice meeting with the community, and they expressed a lot of support. There were no negative comments at the time. We met with the council and the mayor of Dagsboro. They were enthusiastic. And we're looking forward to creating what we think will be a huge asset to the county and to Delaware, the whole state, and to all of Delmarva. It will increase tourism. We're going to be meeting with the tourism board, and we know it'll do a lot for central Delaware. The area that needs some help. We don't need any more at the beach corridor. It's already crowded, but we certainly could use it inland a little ways. And this is an ideal location, as far as we're concerned, for a botanic garden. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Just to kind of wrap up our presentation here, in the booklet, we've provided a pretty extensive booklet. We've taken a look at this site fairly extensively. We've provided, under the environmentally sensitive developing district, we've provided our responses to section 115.194.3. I can tell you we're working with Tidewater Utilities about providing domestic and fire protection for the site. We're going to rely on on-site wells, and we'll work through Denerac for the irrigation of the gardens itself, but the fire protection will come from Tidewater. They do have a facility that's about 2,000 feet to the east of this project. We are in the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. We'll work with the county on providing sanitary sewer for the facility. Again, we had a pretty good meeting with the State Planning Agency and talking with Denerac and working with their wildlife officials, with Fish and Wildlife, with the subaqueous, about being able to provide for the boat ramp and some small docks to be able to provide ego tours along Pepper's Creek. So we'll be working with that group. We've invited them out to the site to take a walk around to look at the environment. Again, Mr. Zajic talked about the economic benefit. In the booklet, we do show about 190 signatures in support. Mr. Lank did talk about some additional emails and signatures that he received prior to the hearing today. I have provided at the end of the booklet our proposed findings of facts and some conditions of approval that are part of the record. I can tell you that just to kind of address one, the public hours of operation will be Monday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to dusk, and 11 p.m. during some special times during the year, any special events that throughout the year.
You say that conditions of approval are in here?
Yes, they're at the end of the...
I have this tab, and then there's nothing. So uh-oh. I guess it was just left out. Okay.
My assistant may need to go find a job at the garden.
It was just the one page, or no, two pages. Thank you.
Just one last thing. We are working with DLDOT at this time on the. We did provide under the environmentally sensitive developing district. I did provide some language in there, and we provided a letter that we submitted to DLDOT about the traffic and how we came up with the number of visitors, how we came up with the number of cars that we on an average day. So that, and we are working with DLDOT on working with improving Piney Neck Road along, not only along our frontage, but if any off-site improvements need to be upgraded because of this facility being 1 mile east of the town of Dagsboro, we will work with DLDOT and looking at improving this roadway system. So with that, with Mr. Zajic's presentation, my presentation, and everything that we have in the booklet, we ask that that the county look in favor of this project.
Okay, thank you. Does council have any questions of Mr. Davidson?
Mr. Phillips does.
Talked about a waterfall. I'm trying to understand exactly how they're going to create a waterfall. Is that using pumps?
Yes, I would be using pumps.
Have they put a dollar figure on what it's going to cost to move that volume of water?
Not yet. We are we're working with we've got some other teaming partners that have teaming partners, EDIS and Georgia Lynch. Have volunteered some of their services to work with us through the design process. of this project so that we can put together, start putting together some of the numbers that it's going to take to build this site. One of our first meetings that we discussed, we talked about the canal in itself and how it's going to be constructed to be able to move that amount of dirt. And again, we're going to need some dirt because, as Mr. Zajac stated, that we're going to provide berms around the entire perimeter of the site to help shield from noise and outside disturbances. But again, the canal is going to be something that we will we're starting to look at fairly extensively to see how that's going to be constructed.
Is there a, so with that said, I guess me asking for a business plan that has the numbers in it would be a foolish question.
Well, they are working on their business plan. They're currently, and they have, again, working through us, Pannoni meaning, and then with the other supporting groups that have come in, we're helping them put this business plan together, putting the actual numbers. I think somewhere around, I think we were talking about somewhere around the $50 million mark is what it's going to take to build this project out.
And where's this $50 million coming from? Selling bricks?
I can ask Mr. Sajic to come up and explain their marketing.
Our model is Norfolk Botanic Garden, and banks give buildings and rooms. Organizations donate things. We have a level of donations. A brick is the beginning end, like $150 a brick. This takes about $5 million worth of profit off of that will come to the project to help us start up. After that, there's like a tree for $500, a bench for $2,500, and the mounts go up so that all people can find some level at which, if they want to contribute, they can and make a difference. There's a lot of vested interest in the community in this. A lot of businesses see this and will see it, and have already mentioned to us that they see it as a huge opportunity for themselves, and they'll be perfectly happy to donate a classroom or an arbor or a garden. We'll have all the units will be packaged. They'll be designed by architects with good presentation things so that we can present it to people so they can choose something that they might want to help with. Norfolk put their whole place together that way.
How big is Norfolk?
I have never seen Norfolk. So when you refer to it, I don't know what you're saying.
Norfolk Botanic Garden is large. Its developed area is about the same size as this. It's got a lot of forest buffer around it. The gardens here will be about the same size as Longwood Gardens. Longwood's 600 acres, but the developed area of Longwood is a central core. If you've ever been there, this is about the same amount of area.
Okay.
But ours is developed right up to the edge because we don't have 300 acres.
Okay.
Up to the berms, I should say. We're going to be adding like 2,000 trees, hundreds of new native plant species, thousands of perennials and plants and many other things, so that the biological impact, the ecological impact will be a huge positive. A lot more oxygen production. It'll be an educational and museum institution. We have lots of display areas. I might mention, too, that buildings like the conservatory, I think one concern at one point was how the relationship between the square footage total and the number of cars, there's a formula for that already. And the way we explain it is like a conservatory, you've got an aisle in the middle, and you've got 50 feet on each side of gardens that are part of the landscaping. So you can't relate it as usable space to demand for cars. It works out that most of these places have lots of display spaces like museums do, galleries and museums.
Now you're not bringing in any species that would be labeled like a nuisance. If it's spread beyond your borders, it could be a problem like down the road or something like that.
I should hope not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's just the fear.
Let's just say the fear of some maybe a neighbor who said, "Okay, it's a grandiose plan, all this other stuff." and it doesn't work, and you've constructed this place or a lot of it, and then something happens, you know, with the plan. In the lease, is there wording that would to be, you know, any kind of restoration plan or to what would happen to it if something happened between you and the landlord? Mm-hmm. Is there wording in the lease?
The lease is 99 years.
But let's just say things fell apart, the support, the environment changed, who knows what, something happens 20 years down the road. Is there wording in the lease that says that this is what's going to happen to it if you all, you know, don't seem to be able to make it or something like that?
We haven't seen the lease.
I don't care about seeing the lease. I'm just wondering, is there wording in it that, you know, for any kind of restoration? Is anybody familiar with the lease at all?
It's not been created yet.
It's being worked.
Oh, you're still working on the lease.
It's still working on the lease right now.
Heidi Gilmore is representing us. Tunnel and Razor is donating pro bono services mm-hmm. in favor of this. And they're fashioning a lease with the land trust that will serve and attend to all those. Those were concerns that were originally mentioned, and they're part of the checklist. I'm afraid I can't.
That's okay. With Heidi and that bunch, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, from both sides, the concerns. You know, if I was a property owner, you know, and my tenant, something happened to him, I'd like to know, you know, what is the remedy for me as the property owner. So I'm sure there'll be something in it, so we'll just have to
wait. Well, if the rent's $1 a year, I hope they're not too concerned about the rent.
And on your, there's a fee associated with it, and you're a nonprofit. If there are any profits, what do you do with the profits?
Profits will go into the endowment fund. An institution like this has to have large reserves for wear and tear on buildings, damage. You know, you're always having to repair stuff all the time. The county has lots of properties. I bet it has a big maintenance bill.
So
will a place this big.
The money will just recycle back into the project. Right. Okay.
Our employment thing should be of interest to you too, perhaps, and that is that we are going to use the Delaware Center for Horticulture in Wilmington, where we might even share with them. We're going to use their human resources model as a model system, and we will be offering full benefits to all employees.
And how many employees do you expect?
About 100 employees, and a lot of them professional jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to follow this MOU, and I just tell me who's going to own the property. There's a lease, and then there's transfer of the property. It doesn't make sense.
It's being leased. So
who's leasing to whom?
Sussex Land Trust is leasing to the Southern Delaware Botanical
Gardens. So the land trust is going to hold title.
That's correct.
And who accepts the liability and all the maintenance and whatnot? That I'm really thinking about the liability. Does the land trust, is it exposed to that in any way?
I'm pretty sure the way, if the lease is constructed.
Yeah, the lease, okay.
It
would take care of that.
That would take care of that. The Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens will hold all liability, mm-hmm. and they'll probably, they'll be the shareholder of all the liability for anything that would, and probably hold harmless all
I'm
the
just
particular.
Wondering. I'm on the
sure,
land.
Sure, Mr. Moore could probably.
Yeah, there will be certain provisions, I'm sure, that will indicate certain insurance requirements, naming the landlord as being protected as well
mm-hmm.
in case there is any suit. I'm sure there'll be certain hold harmless language.
Okay.
So the tenant would be the one that would have the responsibility. They would also have the responsibility to make sure the landlord is protected.
Also that they have insurance, and so if something does happen, that they can
that
cover
would
it.
Be part of uh-huh. the lease as
okay.
a requirement.
Okay. Now who
we've even purchased insurance already.
Oh, you're way ahead of the game. and this organization are they specific? Is it a corporation? This SD Southern Delaware Botanic
yes.
Gardens.
Yes,
it's a corporation. It has stockholders, and is that how it's set up?
Is that how you're set up? It's a 501c3.
Well,
so
I know it's that, but I mean, how is it? So who owns it?
It's pretty much like the Coastal Concerts Board, which I was.
I don't know what that is.
Well, we're.
Who are we dealing with?
You're dealing with the board of directors. We have bylaws. We have terms of office. The initial terms are 10 years to make sure that the thing is seen through properly. And then there's, after that is 3-year terms for all the members, and they're staggered. So the board has to approve every, and can remove any board member. The whole board can act upon it. Mm-hmm. So it will be a self-perpetuating oversight. The facility itself will have a director that reports to the board. The Southern Delaware Botanic Gardens Board will be the governing body, and it's self-perpetuating. Mm-hmm. We don't have, there is no other membership. It's like a lot of other, it's the way most 501c3s are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just to follow up, just like most church groups and other churches and other organizations, they don't have like a typical corporation has shareholders. This will not have the shareholders.
I thought I heard that word, shareholders. No? Must have misunderstood. Okay. Yeah.
So
I see.
It would not have, mm-hmm. It would be the entity mm-hmm. itself and through its bylaws would be operating. That's traditionally how they operate.
Mm-hmm. And you call it a public or public park or public. You keep saying public. But when you say that, it's not owned by any government or what? How do you?
We serve the
public.
How
do you define that word?
Well, we serve the public.
Well, yeah.
That's our
for our price.
Absolutely. if we weren't going to be a good business, economically sustainable, you ought to tell us no.
Well,
but
when
we
you
are
say
going to be.
Well,
I
when
guess
you say
you
public.
Are being a little loose with the vocabulary. You're being a little loose with your vocabulary, as Ms. Deaver has pointed out.
Yeah. Beg your pardon.
Well, I was actually asking the question, and I was curious about, you're going to have a boat ramp, is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
And that would be open to the public?
No. The boat ramp is for us to launch in the spring, the tour boats, and then they'll be at the dock for the season, and at the end of the season, they'll be taken out and put in storage in our equipment shed.
Okay.
That's not for public use.
Not a launching ramp.
It'll be fenced off.
Okay.
And so it's not a busy port.
Okay.
It's once in and once out.
Right.
And what about the wetlands? Is it going to go over the wetlands? How is that going to work?
Ma'am?
You're going to go over the wetlands or what?
Yes, we're going to...
Just bridge it over?
I
don't know how you do that.
No, we'll work with the Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, but you
state.
Can do that.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Gotcha. Excuse me, George. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the cafe that's out there by the boat ramp is not open to the public, so people won't be able to come up in their boat and access this cafe so that residents won't have a fear that it's a Jimmy Buffett-style operation.
No, not at all.
No, sir.
Every afternoon.
You're going to put jungle trees in there, right?
Sure.
You said something about having like a jungle. It's going to have jungle trees.
No.
Didn't you say something about a jungle trees
jungle?
Earlier?
Jungle trees, yeah, in the conservatory.
I thought that's what you said something about. Now, are they going to be inside?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't think you could have them outside. I was going to say, you know we have winters here. But the thing that puzzles me probably the most, that we gave this money to a land trust. And the reason we gave it to a land trust that it would stay clear land. You're talking about building buildings. You're talking about putting blacktop down. You're talking about taking up running water somewhere else. And to me, this is different. This is not really what a land trust is about. I personally think we took taxpayers' money to buy a piece of land and say it goes to land trust for non-development. This is development, and this has got buildings. This is my problem.
It's non-profit, Sam.
Doesn't matter. Buildings on it, Joe, and we gave it. We gave that money in public trust. We gave it to land trust for the reason of non-development.
Well, I'm on the trust, and the trust is absolutely within its rights to do that.
Sam,
that was a gift.
Huh? This land came to us, came to the county. Not we didn't buy it.
Well, you look on your map there, your little computer, and you'll see it on here.
See what on there?
That we used to own it.
Yes.
Sir. Yeah, well, no, I'm not saying we don't. It was part of a, when we bought all that land for the sewer district.
Okay.
We ended up with this. Because the landowner...
So we're going to make money. We bought it for this reason, and now we're going to lease it for $1 a year?
Well, I guess what Mr. Wilson may be talking about is in the Memorandum of Understanding, for instance, it says that the land trust is doing this to enhance the open space preservation goals. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how that enhances the open space preservation goals of the land trust.
It's not, they're not growing houses, they're growing trees.
They're growing buildings.
It's an old
one. Not many, it's mostly.
Building.
So you're anti-development, is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that. I'm saying, when you give money to a land trust, it's a land trust. Not, you can fuzz around it all you want, say, oh, it's just for this or that.
Okay.
And when you go putting blacktop down, see, it runs water, it does not allow that water retrieve back to where it rained. And then that's part of the natural resource arguments. You can only put so much blacktop down, so much of this. And this is totally going against the grain of a land trust open space idea.
Well, I'm on the land trust, and I voted for it, and I think we're within our rights to do what we did.
You can do what you want, Joan. This is America. I'm not trying to say you can't vote for it. But was it right in good conscience knowing that this is supposed to be land set aside?
Well, you
is
go,
that what
go,
land trust is about? Just go
if you should
from,
know, maybe you should read it.
Well, then I can't. Then I, in good faith, cannot vote any more money into land trust.
Make a point, yeah.
If you're going to do that with it.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Is it possible to get your business plan with some numbers in the next, I don't know, 30, 60, 90 days?
I hope so. I think so. We had most of it ready, and we even have projections on the fiscal parts. But the construction of the facility requires professional costing, and EDIS can do that. They're project managers, and they're going to do that for us. And we plan to start with them within a few weeks.
Obviously, you probably don't want to start until you get approvals, because if they're donating their time and it's a contribution, I can't imagine they want to do all this work and then come up with a. So it probably difficult.
That's
could you get us this Norfolk model, which none of us are familiar with, maybe give us some brochures or something about the Norfolk project, mm-hmm. and maybe maybe we can educate ourselves a little bit on the Norfolk Botanical Gardens, and that would give the ones that are concerned about a business plan, what's going on, and how it's going to look and how it operates and all that stuff.
Do you have any of those benefactors that would be kind of your anchor? For instance, Longwood, I think the DuPont family had a big hand in that. Do you have any DuPonts that are ready to
expect it, sir? We've already talked to our development people who we will likely be working with. I'm sure you'd know their names if I used them. I don't want to use them yet, but they have access to a lot, and they've talked to some, and they've hinted to us that they can hardly wait. That's the most I can tell you at this point. You understand that we don't feel that we can go out and ask anybody to give us money, big money is particularly, until we have a signed lease. Yeah. We can't put the cart before the horse. Yeah. So we're doing,
you know, commitments often are made prior to commitments are made.
Yeah.
Using this,
well, we hope so. We hope so. It just seems to us that all the people we've talked to in Delaware are so enthusiastic for it that this is going to be something that people want to support. It will be such a good benefit to. It's a legacy that all of us can give to our future, our children, and our economy. It's good for us.
The good news is we are a land use body, so we will be looking at the appropriateness of this plan from a land use perspective. And I think you've got something going for you there at least. Okay, that's all I've got.
Okay. Any other questions from
council?
Yeah,
I've noticed that a lot of donations and a lot of contributions and a lot of goodwill, looks like, from what you're saying. You have volunteer workers. You had companies donate their services. And I think you've mentioned a few. Are there any that you might want to mention? Because I think it's important. I'd like to know how much support you have.
Well, all of the board is not only keenly interested, but we've given hundreds, thousands of hours of our time, almost full-time jobs, and money. Our money. Mm-hmm. None of us has any vested interest in this or its outcome. We're doing this out of love and hope. We have no prospect, None of us is going to get a job out of this or any other benefit. None of us operates a business that's going to do business. We have a signed policy. Every board member signs a policy that's a no conflict of interest policy. Mm-hmm. Besides that, you've got some very big community businesses that are not only supporting it in theory, but are giving their time and effort at the level of their president and vice president. George and Lynch, Pannoni,
right.
EDIS, Tunnel and Razor. The more we talk to, the more we get given to us.
That's what
we
I thought.
We have several mm-hmm. businesses on the board, in fact, business members. Mm-hmm. So you're catching us at a point where we're not gone public, mm-hmm. so we don't have any, and we don't come into this with full pockets already. We're not a business that has a development project. We're waiting for the approval to go ahead, and then we're going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for that picture of how it formed to this point. Yeah, thank you.
And, sir, I just looked my colleague here pointed out that we have these little black things here in front of us, and we can look things up, and we did. I just looked up, so you don't have to give us any information. It's all on the internet
about
here.
The Norfolk.
At the Norfolk facility, and he pointed, it's been in existence for 75 years, and it goes through how it's grown and what has happened.
It's a business model that works.
We're not
inventing something new. We're
obviously
going with what good.
But well, so hold that thought. So I've got it in front of me now. Thank you.
I mean, if Google is right, and it always is, I guess, it started in 38 with a $76,000 contribution from almost looks like the state. Representative Norman Hamilton, and $76,000 in 1938 money is a little over $1 million right now.
Yeah.
So are you likely to go to the state for $1 million to maybe get the azalea garden going, which is what they started with?
I think so.
Okay. You're not thinking about coming to the county, are you?
Pardon?
You're not thinking about coming to the county, are you?
Well, I'm hoping the county. I'm hoping the county kicks in some support. I think it's in the county's interest more than the state's even, but in the county's interest. So we expect help from a lot of people. If all of us make it happen, it'll
well,
happen.
We bought the land to start with, so I guess we've already kicked in.
We've already kicked in.
$3 million. That's what it was.
Didn't buy it.
Your foundations, though, do look for the political support in the jurisdictions in the area, so you are correct. So I would understand that you would come to the city of Dagsburn and come to the county and the end of the state because they look to make sure that it does have the community support. So no doubt you will be, you know, coming to us for something.
And seeing no other questions from council, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And if it's in council's prerogative, if you want to close the record at this time.
We'll close the public hearing.
I am interested in some numbers. Is it possible that we could leave the record open for them to provide us with at least that embryonic business plan that they were talking about having shortly?
Well, you just kind of indicated they don't have much of a business plan, so I don't know what we're going to advance. I don't know if we're going to glean.
I'm asking if that can be, you say close the record. I don't know if that would preclude me.
What does that have to do with land use?
If we would close the record, then the record would totally be closed. If you leave it open, I would suggest there would be a motion for that to that effect. However, again, I think we need to focus on the land use aspect of this,
exactly.
And that's really not part of the land use.
Success and failure, Vance, usually doesn't.
Oh, Mr. Cole, I've heard you many times.
Well,
personally,
I can. Certain indicators will tell me if I think it's going to be, but I don't think for us to make a decision on land use, the success of
failure. Make a motion. Maybe.
Sure, I'd like to leave the record open for specifically any type of business plan that they could provide us maybe for 30 days, and if 30 days comes and goes and you don't provide us with anything, well, then at least I asked.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson, to leave the public record open for 30 days specifically for a presentation of their business plan. Any questions on the motion? take a vote. Mrs. Deaver?
No, I don't see how that has anything to do with land use.
Cole, I'll vote yes. I feel that that's, you know, any more information we can get is always as good, so it might help us make a decision. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Nope, nothing will happen for 30 days.
Motion now
maybe
to also
planning and zoning will make a decision.
That's correct.
Maybe we defer.
We need to.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson to defer.
Yes.
Entertain the motion to Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reason there was a motion to defer because planning and zoning had not made a recommendation, and it was required that we do so likewise. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Very good presentation.
The next application is conditional use number 1966, the application of Stephen T. James, doing business as Precision Paintball.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a paintball facility and other sports-related activities to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Bing and Dagger 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 12.9 acres, more or less, lying north of Askeaton Branch Road, being Road 422, 1 mile west of Bryan Store Road, being Road 435, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 133, map 8, parcel number 1. Again, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 11. In that public hearing, we heard we received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Stephen and Jessica James were present on behalf of their application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application and did defer action for further consideration. On July 25th of 2013, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1966 for Stephen T. James, doing business as Precision Paintball, for a conditional use for a paintball facility and other sports-related activities based on the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. The use of the paintball facility will occur on a very limited basis and will not have an adverse effect on neighboring properties, roadways, or the community. Two, when not in use, the operations netting is lowered to the ground and the obstacles are removed. As a result, the property will have the appearance of an open field when not in use. Three, there are currently no paintball facilities in Sussex County. This will serve a need for such a facility in Sussex County for county residents who participate in the sport. Four, the use will occur on only a small part of a 12.9 acre site, and the playing field is set back approximately 300 feet from the front property line. Five, there are no dwellings in close proximity to the site. Six, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. And seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to paintball and other sports-related activities. As stated by the applicant, the other activities shall include soccer, lacrosse, or other sports or games that can occur within the confines of the paintball playing fields and the netting. B, as stated by the applicant, the facility shall only be open on Friday, Saturday, Sundays, and legal holidays. C, one unlighted sign shall be permitted not to exceed 32 square feet in size per side. D, as stated by the applicant, the use will only occur on the front portion of the property. As a result, the area of the conditional use shall run from the frontage of the property along road or Route 442 to a parallel line 1,200 feet north of Route 442. Said line starts at an iron pipe set that same distance from Road 442 along the westerly boundary of the subject property. The final site plan shall show the location of this line in the area of conditional use number 1966. And E, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 3-0. There were only three parties present during that decision. And that's all I have.
Who was the third member that day?
Pardon?
Who was the third member besides Mr. Smith and Mr. Burton?
Mr. Sweetie. The other two members were out of state. And I've received no additional comments to date on from any individual or agency on this application.
Any questions from council?
The only question, Lawrence, did planning and zoning have any discussion on the openness of the terminology other sports-related activities? Then there's a few listed. Does that mean to me that it can only be those that are listed, and then because it says other sports or games, and that's where I believe we're just leaving it wide open. If something's not listed, pretty much anything could go on in there.
But whatever they do, it has to occur within the paintball playing field. It can't be scattered over the whole 12.9 acres.
I understand, but there still could be an activity there that we're not aware of, that we're, you know, that something new come down the road that could be objectionable, you know, that would noise or something could carry for quite a distance. So I know in some of these small towns, if things aren't listed, they get in the things. So
they didn't get super extensive on it because the applicant made reference to soccer. The commissioners, I believe, threw in the word lacrosse because they're similar fields.
Okay. Well, what I'll suggest then here, and with our conversation, if the applicant's listening, maybe he might reference, because I'm not really willing to just leave it as other activities because I don't know what that means. So if you could maybe focus more on some activities that you would be willing to limit it to. All right.
Okay. Any other questions?
A suggestion.
If there are no other questions, if we can have the applicant, Mr. James.
As you are aware, my name is Stephen James. I live at 28456 East Trout Pond Road in Laurel. I operate Precision Paintball with my wife, Jessica. Precision Paintball is a limited liability corporation. Our mission is to provide a top-notch paintball experience for friends, family, church groups, and business gatherings. Paintball is a safe, team-building, non-contact sport for ages 10 and up. Players may use their own equipment or rent equipment from us. All equipment, regardless of player ownership or ours, is regulated in both terms of velocity and rates of fire. All games that occur on a paintball field are supervised by referees with no exceptions. The parcel of land for consideration was purchased by my father in 2005, at which point it was cleared and it was planted in tall fescue grass. It is still planted in that tall fescue grass. We simply keep the front portion mowed. The remaining portion is left to be harvested for hay. Our primary days of operation will be Saturday, Sunday. During my last visit, my discussions with the Planning and Zoning Commission, we did decide to open that up to Friday, primarily for Friday afternoons and potential holidays, although that's not an immediate goal. I did want to leave that open to those days. In regards to our physical facilities, our playing surface is comprised completely of a vinyl material inflatable bunker. They're inflated with leaf blowers. They're staked down with tent stakes. And our nets are on 6x6 poles with cable systems similar to what you'd find at a poultry house. This allows our netting systems to be lowered when not in use, and because the bunkers are inflatable, they can easily be deflated, moved off the playing field, and stored, which will give us the appearance of an open field with the exception of the poles, obviously. In regards to permanent restrooms, we do not intend to utilize those. We do intend to utilize portable restrooms, which will eliminate the need for a permanent septic system. And given our part-time nature, our impact on the local roadways will be negligible. Our current playing field configuration limits our number of players to about 30 players a day. And if you've ever driven down Skeeton Branch Road, it's a pretty sparsely traveled road. Now, since the demise of Pro Action Paintball in 2009, which was located in Roxana, Sussex County has been void of anywhere to play paintball. Our intent is to offer a place to play and compete in the sport within Sussex County, in lieu of the alternatives, which are Ocean City, Maryland, or Northern Delaware, approximately Newark. So we'd like to keep those players here and playing in Sussex County and not having to travel to other states. I appreciate your time and consideration and humbly request your approval.
Okay. Mr. Cole did ask some questions when he was before you came up and asked what other type of sporting events. Is there a list of other type of sporting events that maybe you can discuss that you would want included in your conditions?
Certainly. The primary, I don't know that I have and specific list of sports that I've really thought out. But the primary result of our discussion was sports that would be typically played on the ground, not baseball, where the ball would be going over the net. Not driving range where it's going to be flying out.
Well, see, if it's not listed,
okay,
and we approved this under the way it's written, you could do that. And see the narrowness of this lot, and there's no homes on this. This is just out in the agricultural residential district.
Correct.
And when we do conditional uses in the agricultural residential district, it's supposed to complement the ag relate, some kind of ag related issue of some sort, but which is a stretch in a way here. So what I'm trying to say is limit this. I think you need to limit it to a certain number of activities.
Okay.
So we know what we're talking about.
Would we place those limitations now?
I would think there's a time.
Yeah, I would think the soccer and lacrosse would be fair, as noted. Football also. Honestly,
if somebody goes out there and got a football and happened to throw it back and forth, they're going to go to jail, right?
No, he just said football. He just said football, Sam. Driving range. Have you ever seen a driving range?
Well, he gets out and eliminate golf, if that's what he wants to do.
Pardon me?
Well, okay.
Combines don't like
I
golf
see a lot of trees on both sides, George. Gladfeller owns the land.
You see that today.
And Gladfeller does not develop land.
I understand that, Sam. I understand that. You see that today, but Gladfeller has sold land to developers.
I know.
And people next door, if you look right down a ways, you'll see a long, skinny acreage with a lot of homes, on a strip road. So I'm just trying to limit it, because otherwise you have no control over it if you don't. And golf balls can be a problem if you live near them.
You're not going to golf, are you?
No. In fact, we can restrict golf if you'd like.
That's what I say. So I would just like it listed so there's
He already had that written down, restricted.
If it was archery, rifle, pistol, ranges.
Come on.
Driving ranges, miniature golf goes to the board.
There you go.
That's jurisdiction.
Okay.
So it couldn't be those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So he's can I ask a question? Your dimensions on your proposed lines on your paintball field is 150 by 200 feet.
Yes, sir.
So it couldn't be football unless it's half a field, because a football field is 100 yards. That's 300 foot in itself.
Correct.
So you could change it to 300, 150 by 300 would be able to fit a football field in.
Right.
Is this field anyway going to be designated with like a fence or something around it? Or is it just, you're just saying that's the field?
No, this field has 12-foot nets, and it has...
nets all the way around it, so it's hemmed in with
yes.
nets.
I mean, it's primary and almost only... regulation use would be for paintball. I mean, it's too small.
You've made this field, designed it for a paintball operation.
Correct. It is built to professional regulation.
So you're already using it at this point, and you've been
correct.
You've been violated.
I have.
I get it. Okay.
Been visited.
Yes.
The facilities, you said you were going to use a temporary portable.
Yes.
How long were the people on the premises? How long of a time are they there? I mean, is that eventually going to turn into something, a permanent facility, sanitary facility?
No. Typically, our hours of operation would be on Sundays for walk-on play from about 12 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer times, we can extend that to dusk. We do not currently have lights on the field. And Saturdays, we are open only to private reservations, so often we are not even open on Saturdays.
Uh-huh.
If someone would like to book a private party, we are open then. But that is the only circumstance in which we're open on Saturdays.
So they will probably sit there when needed, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is there any problem screening the porta-johns that will be left on site permanently?
From the roadway?
Yes.
No.
So screening. So we could put a condition in there that screening of the porta potties would be required on the final site plan.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your parking area is going to be how's it going to look? Just going to drive up on the grass and park?
Yes, it is. It is kept mowed and it is approximately 200 feet wide by 300 feet long.
What kind of entrance, Lawrence, is going to be required of that?
Delta, whatever they require.
And do we permit just parking in, like he just said, on a grassy area?
Well, typically it'd be grass or gravel because it's temporary use. We don't require them to pave on temporary.
What do you mean temporary? Because it's only
going to be a temporary use. If you went out and paved it, he'd all of a sudden have to deal with any erosion, sedimentation, stormwater management, ponds, the whole works, where if it that size would require it. So it would be it could be gravel, or it could be stone, or it could be dirt if the council so chooses.
Now, where does it say? Just because it's year round, right?
Yes.
So how's that temporary? If
it's temporary because of the number of days. It's only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are legal holidays.
Well, that's a choice.
That's 7 days a week.
Okay, yes. I mean, that's just a choice of how they operate. I mean, but like
it's
we're talking about business plan.
It's a condition of the approval if you approve it based on the commission recommendation.
Okay, now that doesn't seem to be temporary. Temporary is like if they're only going to do it once or twice and that's it. But this is, once it's approved.
Certainly be more in favor of having a grass area than I would pave.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I
don't see sense going any further with it.
No, I'm just questioning his perception of temporary in mind. That's all.
I think it's just waste of question time to ask that kind of questions.
You got somewhere to go?
Well, let's be sensible here, George. I mean, after all, it's a grass parking area, and what's wrong with a grass parking area?
I had the same question.
I know, but if we do it for him, the next guy comes in for something, are we going to permit grass parking areas?
Traffic, they want to put their own blacktop in.
We certain times, but, same I mean, we do require a lot.
I just went to Harrington Fair, all the parking area was grass.
Good point. That's right.
I mean, they had thousands of cars there. What the heck are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Are there any other questions?
Let's go.
back to the list of activities again. You said soccer, football, lacrosse. Anything else you can think of?
Temporary
volleyball.
Volleyball.
I thought we had decided we were going to go with what was not permitted and leave what is permitted open-ended. Isn't that what you said, Lawrence?
Told you what was required to go to the Board of Adjustment.
Gotcha.
Right.
All those things he's already not listed that. They're listed because he's applied for specifically for a paintball and related sports activities used in the same field.
Mm-hmm. Any other use, he'd have to go to the board, is what you're
the
saying?
The other use I mentioned are board items.
Mm-hmm. Right. It didn't say related to paintball, but it just says sports related. So anything related to sports activities. And again, there's a whole wide range of things that people call sport.
We don't have to say that, do we?
No, I'm just going to get it. I was just going to ask. He's limited to the size of the field and different things, and the size of the property limits a lot of things
right.
he can do.
Right.
But he could, you know, people can buy and sell these. Now, I'm not saying he'd ever do this, and anybody'd ever want to buy it. But somebody else might come along with different intentions. So I'm just saying, if we list these things now, if he ever wants to change it, he can always come in. Lawrence has the ability to add to if it's not a big change, right? You could add it.
Nation does.
Pardon me? The commission would,
does.
Without having him make an application, right?
He amended the site plan to add something additional. The commission would have to look at the conditions of approval
right.
by the council as recommended by the commission and could change minor conditions imposed by the commission. Impose a condition,
right.
they can't change
well,
it.
Well, my only concern is all he wants to do is paintball, but we're throwing in a bunch of things, and we ought to be a little careful what we allow to be thrown in. His main activity is paintball. So if we list these four, and if he wants to add one later on, he can go in front of the commission without making an application, right? Just get on
yep.
the agenda. And then listen, the commission will say, oh, it sounds like it fits. Let's do it. So I don't see any reason that we shouldn't be err on the side of caution than just leave it open-ended. So,
in the discussion with the commission during a public hearing, the applicant made reference that he may like an additional field for the same size. Is that not right?
Correct.
So you could have paintball field 150 by 200 and another paintball field 150 by 200.
Can we give him that today?
What was his application?
It just says for a paintball facility and other sports related activities.
Trouble is we have this that planning and zoning use, and this is what we've used to show just one.
How long you been using that as a paintball thing now?
September.
Violation less up to now, September, so.
Yes.
Your violation was what reason? Just didn't get zoned?
Yes, my own ignorance, admittedly.
Who complained? What was the complaint about?
They were not specific. They stated on the violation that there was a complaint. They didn't go into any more detail.
Was it from a neighbor?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Mr. Lank, was the advertisement, the legal description, tax map for the entire parcel?
Yes, it was. And the commission recommendation is that it be reduced to a limited area, the front portion, a 1,200-foot of depth.
Okay, so it was advertised as the entire thing. The commission with what reduced it to a smaller depth.
But it was only using a portion of it.
So the council could legally, if they desired, have the two go ahead with a motion to change the condition that was here.
Yeah, sure. Here's the fear we have. We've seen it with those go-kart facilities. I'm not using, anyway. They grow and they get out of hand sometimes. We have something down in near me that they're in a field, music, alcohol, coming and going and everything else. Somebody has complained. They fear that this quiet little neighborhood in rural Sussex County on a small road is going to change things. So there shouldn't be any alcohol. There shouldn't be any music. I mean, this is something we ought to look into and put in here because it could. We look up one day and neighbors have a complaint, or he passes it on to somebody else who sees potential to do other things. So,
well, I'll go with you on one thing. No alcohol beverage. I'll go with you on that. I'll grant you that.
How about music, Sam? You draw the line with music?
If I may, insurance regulations don't allow alcohol on the premises anyway.
I just want to make sure it's in here, in the writing, so there's no question about it. That way, if a neighbor calls up and says, what the heck's going on down there? And then here we sat here, because Sam says, oh, just let it go, who cares? And we got problems. I'm trying to avoid problems, and Sam, let the man have the activity that he wants. You can have it both ways. So put your thinking cap on.
Okay, so once we conclude the public hearing, the proper method would be simply to have motions on these to either modify the current usage or to increase the amount of area. There could be motions either way.
Have you gone anybody in favor? Anybody?
No, opposed? Not. That's why I said after the public the hearing is over. So are there any other questions at this point? If not, is there anyone else here in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. At this point, the public hearing on this matter is over, and with the council's approval, we can close the public record at this point.
Okay. We'll close public hearing. If anybody has any concern, we'll close public record.
Not fully
closed.
Okay.
Okay, now we can make now we can make some suggestions, and stuff, right?
We could, yeah, I guess.
Or we could read the record. Could we read the record? I move that we read.
Do we need to read the short title first before we do anything else?
We could read the short title, right. And then we could make a motion.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a paintball facility and other sports-related activities to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 12.9 acres, more or less, tax map ID 1-33-8-1, with conditions and currently stated A through E on page 6, as Mr. Lank read into the record.
Okay.
I make that motion? You need a motion and a second before we start?
Discussion. Okay, that's fine. Right? We have a motion and a second to approve.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion.
No, I want to make, I want to amend.
Sorry. Well, you want to amend it?
I'm not withdrawing.
Why? I don't know. Is this your Waterloo today here, young man?
This is a simple application.
I wish you would put this kind of interest in something large, but you get all carried away with something. No, I am not. Okay. I listen. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead, Mr. President.
We have a motion and a second. Questions on the motion? Discussion? Hearing none, we will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote for it, and for the reasons that planning and zoning gave and with the conditions that they gave.
Mr. Call.
I'll vote no, unfortunately, because there's nothing in there about screening porta potties as you ride down that country road and you got two porta potties possibly sitting out there.
He agreed to that.
No, we didn't agree to that. You just missed it.
He did.
No, it's not in the conditions.
Right, that's Vance's fault.
No, you just vote.
George, okay, anyway.
George, I want to tell you something about
it. Please, okay. please.
Number two, if we follow what our land use plan calls for, this is not an ag-related activity in the agricultural district. It is actually has been recommended by the land use plan is not to permit these kind of activities because I had heard nothing from this application where it was ag-related or residential in nature. So anyway, the concern also I have is it's all open-ended. He was willing to put in some things, and we could have put them in easily. Now we can't do that. It's left wide open. And the potential for alcohol and music. Now, I know he says you can't have it for paintball, but he can have, there's no insurance problems with other activities. So it's nothing against you, young man. It's just the positions I've taken, I think, would have helped control the potential problems that could occur in a site like this with maybe not you, but with somebody else who could operate this operation. So there's a lot of things here that are, in my opinion, wrong and just whip through here because, oh, it's so simple.
No.
But that's okay. That's the I understand how it works, Sam, and I am done. Unfortunately, my vote is no. I was going to vote yes if they could have just screened some toilets and limited alcohol and music.
But Mr. President.
Mr. Phillips.
I guess I thought that Robert's rules allowed for amendments to a motion after it was seconded, and that was something that the president called for any discussion. At that time, it would have been appropriate for Mr. Cole to offer his amendment, but 20 years of sitting on this board has taught him nothing about procedure. So you get just what planning and zoning gave you because Mr. Cole didn't know how to make an amendment to the motion. This is AR1 ground, and the R stands for residential. And so people out there who are living may want to participate, so it's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I think that you come in here with a sincere request. Nobody opposes it. I'll vote yes. And look forward to your business.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, naturally, I'm going to vote yes because I can't see anything wrong with it. Planning zone didn't see anything wrong with it. As far as outdoor toilets, George, if I had an outdoor toilet, I'm not going to sit out along the road so the public can use it. I'm going to put the thing back off the road some distance for my reason not have to pay all the pumping bill for the general public. I mean, that just common sense is going to take care of that for that man, and you too. And far as Mr. Langston here in red, what could be used and what cannot be used as far as sports? I think it's enough been said.
Mr. President.
That was a yes vote.
Yes.
Okay. It did I'm appear fairly simple, I think, but I'm going to agree with planning and zoning's recommendations and with their conditions. I will vote yes. Motion carried. I will also say, I know you did stand there a while ago when they talked about the bathrooms, mm-hmm. and you committed, in my mind, to making sure they're not visible from the roadway.
Yes.
So I'm sure you'll do that as you spoke you will. So.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Want to take a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Question,
I vote yes.
Which you fail to realize, Sam, will